Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Okay, I think this show is obvious at this point. After 64 shows, this is more or less a public service show, in that as I evolve these subjects for you, I realize you can't get this off internet. And that's what you like to do. I understand that. Because a lot of the information I give you is based on clinical experience. And anybody that's mastered something will tell you it's really not the books, it's the experience. What I do in these shows is compile a lot of day-to-day with patients over the last 20, 25 years, constantly trying to get answers amidst sometimes really overwhelming odds. And that's how I put these shows together. On top of which, I will not sell. My shows are not about sale. And one of the reasons I do that is because I think we've got the sales covered. I think we've got great product. I think you know where to get that great product. I think that it's application of herbal medicine and application of therapy that's really what it's about. That's why I started my school, the Medici Institute for Advanced Nutritional Education. I'm continuing with my second class tomorrow. I have about 5 seats left. What I want you to do is call the center at 310-320-1132 and ask to speak to either Annika or Catalina. That's either Annika or Catalina, and just sign up. And they'll take you from there. You can also get on my website at straighttalk.cc. And I start the show like this today because the more I do this show, the more I get connected to education. I'm having an absolute party with these classes that I've been running since November. And it's amazing to me how really what I thought would happen is actually happening. I'm watching the public, and that's you, integrate higher levels. I'm moving you away from this very, very simplistic, I have this symptom, what herb should I take stuff, to a higher level. And guess what? You're still going to need herbs, but you're going to understand how to use those herbs. And you're going to understand in a deeper way how if you don't make the lifestyle changes and master the art of doing that, the herbs don't work as well as you want. So really, we're going to hit a topic today, and I'm going to barrel away with some hard science because you listen to this show and you know sometimes we've got to get a little bit more technical rather than philosophical or sensational. And again, the theme is education. You have to be educated to understand what? Why you have to reduce the number of pharmaceutical drugs you ingest. After the age of 60, it's almost legion at this point in American, if not world society, to be on 1 or 2 or 3. You're up to 10 pharmaceutical drugs at a time. And really, once you're on that bandwagon, the end is near because the side effects are horrible, but you don't really get what side effect means. What you do is in the general sense, you understand drugs are no good, and we understand that. Mind you, sometimes they're necessary, but very often they're overused, and you understand drugs are no good. Great. That's where you start. But really, where you have to take it is to why. If you understand why, that's what catalyzes action. So the general, nonsensical literature that you can read on the side of a bottle, or when you listen to holistic wisdom from the guy at the vitamin store that drugs are bad, this isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about understanding something more deeply. So put on your seatbelts, guys, because here we go. First of all, negotiating with your doctor as to how to get off drugs. This is something that really for a lot of people, they have an aneurysm over this issue. I've got to tell my doctor in the white suit that I don't want to take the drug, or I don't want to take the drug anymore, and I'm scared. You have no idea how many times I hear this, and so I have to start with this one. This isn't the science part of the show, but I have to start with this. What you do with your medical doctor is you tell him that you don't want to take the drug, or you tell him that you want to reduce the drug. Now, I didn't say ask him. And the reason you can't ask him, and this is the point, and this is why I'm starting the show with this topic. The reason you can't ask him is because he's not allowed to tell you to get off the drug. If the standard of care is to go on the drug at this dose, and the doctor, since he's been 15 years old, in his AP biology classes, has been told to follow the club's methodologies. By the time that doctor's 50 years old and you're asking him whether you can get off the drug or not, is it okay, doctor, that I stop my Coumadin or I go off my lisinopril? That doctor is risking his career by saying yes. You're asking him to create the greatest sin he can possibly create, and that's to go against the club. And yes, if he were to say that, God forbid something should happen to you, it's on his conscience. So not just from the litigious standpoint, but from the standpoint of the brotherhood, from the standpoint of morals, a doctor doesn't want to tell you to go against the grain. Now, here's the pearl for you. When you tell a doctor you're going off a drug, a doctor is bound by the Hippocratic Oath to tell you, Mrs. Smith, if you go off that drug, you're crazy. You will get sick. You will injure yourself. You are risking your life to go off that drug. I would not go off that drug if I were you. That doctor is morally culpable to respond to your imperative in that way. And when you tell him what you're going to do, you're giving him a wonderful opportunity to do one of two things. Get morally indignant and tell you, you must stay on that blood pressure drug. You could be risking your life with a stroke. You give him an opportunity to do that, or you give him an opportunity to back off. He doesn't have to say anything. He can simply say, well, if it's your choice in the end. It is your choice in the end. But when you have a good relationship with your medical doctor, and number one, make sure you have a good relationship. If you have a medical doctor that's a clone, get a different one. And don't tell me you're just locked into your health care provider and you have no choices. Choices are out there. And there are more than one doctor in the group. So always make friends and always be pleasant and be a good patient. But know how to deliver the bomb. And the bomb is, once you have a decent relationship with a medical doctor, when you want to tell them, Doc, I'm going off the glucophage. Doctor, I'm going off the high blood pressure meds. They have a choice. Again, they can either get behind the stick and tell you the severe and serious risks you're taking and that they wouldn't do that. Now, the reality of it, and this is why we had to set you up for the reality of it, the reality of it is that if, in fact, you're doing something stupid, that doctor is going to respond with that tenacity, In that tone of voice, they're going to tell you, no, don't do that. But if you're going off something like Lipitor, which is killing you anyway, and which the FDA knows is going to be moving sort of their perspective of it away from this cholesterol thing, if you tell your doctor something like, I'm going off Lipitor, and you have a good relationship, you know what they're going to do? Well, it's your choice. That's your flag. That's your cue. That's the signal that you don't really need the drug. You see? So what you're teaching, what you're learning here is to read and talk between the lines. You have to remember, when you're being counseled by your medical doctor, unfortunately, now, today, he is part of a very sick system that he doesn't enjoy either. And many doctors, I can tell you, who I'm friends with, are throwing up their arms in their 50s and 60s and really asking themselves why they bothered in the first place. You've got those guys, you've got the clones, These are the people who don't even think about what they're doing as medical doctors. And these are the people that many of you complain about to me. And then sometimes, not often enough, we have the kings of medicine. They're still out there. You have to look for them. But you have to create the right environment. So first issue, negotiate and how to negotiate off pharmaceutical meds. Because you know what? Lots of you need to get off them under supervision. Under supervision. The way to bring it to your doctor is by saying, hey, doc, you know what? I don't really feel that much better on this drug. I want to wean off it. So I'm going to cut it by 15% just to let you know. That's how you do it. The other way you do it is if you can monitor through a reading what you're given the drug regarding. For instance, if it's your blood sugar, you can monitor your blood sugar. If it's your blood pressure, you can monitor your blood pressure. Pain is subjective, so we can't really monitor it, but you know how much pain you're in. Antidepressants, anti-anxieties, again, it's subjective. Something you should never go cold turkey on. But if you were to tell your doctor, I'm going off the antidepressant gradually, please help me do it gradually. This is how you enlist support. So number one, you have to know how to negotiate. The next thing you have to do is find out how the drug is excreted. Listen, drugs are miracles for lots of people. Pharmaceutical medicine, yes, it pushed out natural medicine. Back in the 20s and 30s, I don't know, half, three-quarters of the med school curriculum was natural medicine. Remember, we're talking 1910, 1920. We didn't do a lot of surgery. Surgery was very crude, and we didn't have a lot of pharmaceuticals. So what was it to be a medical doctor? It was to learn the anatomy, the physiology, the very hard sciences, and then practice healing through nature. The holistic doctor of today, the enemy of today, was really the doctor of yesterday. By the 1930s, the 1940s, the drug companies took control of the FDA, and they also took control of the AMA through funding. Well, just like any corporate business would seek to expand. And I'm not necessarily going to criticize that. I'm going to point out that they took over. They yielded tremendous influence, that is. The pharmaceutical companies yielded tremendous influence because what they did worked. I would not have argued antibiotics. By the 1940s, Fleming discovered them in the late 20s. By the 40s, we were mass producing them. Honestly, I would not argue antibiotics, nor would I argue many drugs against many drugs in acute life-threatening situations. In 1890, when Grandpa was 95 years old and had pneumonia and wanted to kick a few more years, it's a shame we didn't have an antibiotic to knock out that pneumonia. And that's my point. There's a place for them. However, what's happened over the years, unfortunately, is they've turned into the point where they're used chronically. It's not the acute use of the drug. It's the chronic use of the drug. So if you're on drugs and you're using them chronically, that you've been on them a year or 2 years, your doctor said you're going to do this forever, or somehow you started and you just don't question it anymore. Number two, you have to find out how the drug is excreted. You have to find out how the drug is excreted. And that drug will be excreted through the liver or through the kidneys. And we're going to get to an understanding then of how the drug can derange, destroy, distort, dismember the liver and or the kidneys. So some drugs, if they're fat soluble, they go out more through the liver. If they're water soluble, they go out more through the kidney. That's important for you to know. Often they go out both ways. That's important for you to know. If they go out both ways and you don't have a gallbladder. So here's an example, all right? Let's get the thinking caps on and have fun here. Let's say you don't have a gallbladder and you're on a drug that goes out through the liver and the gallbladder. Well, it's not going out through your liver and your gallbladder. I can guarantee you that because you don't have a gallbladder, and that means the bile ducts up in your liver are severely fibrosed, meaning they're clogged, meaning they're not working, meaning you're leaking bile rather than dropping a quart or two a day into your intestines. Well, if that drug is toxic and it's made to go